Join us as we open the Word of God to get more deeply grounded and learn about the abundant life available to all through our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Hey, Pastor Charles, grammar is so important. I want to give you an example of how important even a comma is. It can mean life and death. You probably heard the famous example. Let's eat, comma, grandpa. Versus, let's eat, grandpa. See a comma? Life and death. I think I should just get into the text. What do you think? And not give grammar lessons. John chapter 21, 1 through 14. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, I am going fishing. And they said to him, we will go with you. And they went out and got into the boat. But that night they caught nothing. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, children, do you have any fish? They answered him, no. He said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. So they cast it. And now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved, therefore, said to Peter, it is the Lord. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came into the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards off. When they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire in place with fish laid out on it and bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish that you have just caught. So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. Now none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them. And so with the fish. This was the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. Well, we finally got to the last chapter of the Gospel of John. And it's a great chapter. Now, we would have thought that the Gospel of John ended in John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of the disciples, which aren't recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. End of chapter. End of book. But we have chapter 21, which serves like a epilogue, if you will. It's a very personalized story, chapter 21. It's about Peter's reinstatement back into ministry. We learned that this was the third appearance of Jesus to his disciples as a group. And it's about the seventh time overall that Jesus has appeared after his resurrection. He met them at the Sea of Tiberias, which is also known as the Sea of Galilee. Tiberias being the Roman name. There was also a town by that name, which was on the west side of the Sea of Galilee, and it was known to be a vacation spot. It has 7 natural mineral springs, and so Romans loved to go there to relax. The disciples went there to go fishing. Jesus had commanded them, after his resurrection, go to Galilee and wait there. And so they did. And they're sitting around bored, and Peter says to everybody, let's go fishing. That was the vocation of several of the disciples. But I think it's a step backwards spiritually, and I hope to share that with you this morning. Remember, Jesus had called them fishers of men, and they were abandoning that call to fish. They were losing their vision, forgetting their call, their purpose. And when we do that, we fail. Like the Jews in the wilderness who wanted to go back to Egypt, Go back to the familiar, back to the way things used to be, back to the comfortable. And when we do that, sometimes we take other people with us. We influence them wrongly. Peter's the leader of this group. He has influence. He took six others with him. Seven out of the 11 current disciples went fishing. Five are named, and I'm just guessing the other two being Andrew and Philip. So picture the scene. They're out on the sea at night, which if you fish at all, you know that's the best time to go fishing at night. They would have had torches in their boat, and that light would attract the fish to them. The plan is to fish at night, catch fish, and sell them early morning while they're still fresh. I can remember vividly three times during 2000 to 2010, going to Haiti. And we stayed at a place called Wahoo Bay. It was right on the Caribbean Sea. And standing out there at night and seeing the Haitian fishing boats out there with their lights. So here we are, 2,000 years later, and people are doing the exact same things as the disciples. But that night they caught nothing. Supernatural ineptitude, which happens when you're not in the center of God's will. He lets you catch nothing. Supernatural unproductivity. But Jesus wanted the disciples to learn a lesson. And maybe he has a lesson for you today, too, in this story. Because maybe you've lost your purpose. You've lost your way and you need to go back. We will see in chapter 21 that Jesus gives him three commands. We're going to look at the first one today and the other two next week. Three commands to help us regain our purpose. Cast your nets. That's the first command Jesus gave them. Cast your nets. They're out at night, in the boat, on the sea. They've caught nothing. They're heading back in. They're about 100 yards from shore. The day is dawning, but it still is probably a little dark and foggy. And they hear a voice from the shore saying, "Children, do you have any fish?" And interesting, the way that Greek grammar, again, grammar, it is structured, it demands the answer no. So Jesus knew that they hadn't caught any fish. He asked them that question. They respond no. And then he says, "Cast your net on the right side and you will." And they do, and they have great success. Now, they didn't know it was Jesus who was speaking from the shore. They probably thought, "Who is this guy giving us advice? We've been fishing all night long. We cast on the left side. We cast on the right side. We cast on every side." But they obeyed, which is always the right thing to do. They moved their net from the left side of the boat to the right side of the boat. How far is that? I mean, is it 3 foot? Is it 10 foot? It's not a great distance. And they didn't say, "Oh, no, that's much too far for us to change." It could seem like it's a big change when it's really quite small. Just obey Jesus. John is oftentimes the first one to catch on to something, and he does here. From the voice, from the shoreline, he surmises that it's Jesus. And maybe you're thinking, haven't we seen this before? This exact same story? And the answer would be yes. It was Peter's first encounter with Jesus on the Sea of Galilee in Luke chapter 5. There's no accident with God. There's oftentimes parallels in Scripture, and that's what's happening here. God is doing something similar for Peter from before. He repeats lessons that we may have forgotten. When we drift off course, when we forget our way and our purpose and need to be reminded again. The last time there was a fishless night, there was a miraculous catch. And John remembered. He tells Peter, and in typical Peter fashion, he dives headfirst into the water. Now, first of all, though, he puts on his shirt. Now, why would you put on your shirt to go swimming? That doesn't make sense. But understand, in Israel, and probably other cultures at that time, greeting was considered a religious act. And so to be not be clothed would be dishonoring to the person that you were greeting. So he put his shirt on. Now, we live by a park in Canton, and it had a walking track on it. So I would often go there and walk and sometimes jog. And in the summertime, I would go shirtless. In fact, I didn't wear a shirt from ages 16 to 30. And occasionally I would run into people from church, which made it quite embarrassing to be standing there with no shirt on. I would try to cover up myself with my arms, and I thought, I got to start wearing a shirt. The disciples lost their purpose. They thought they would go back to fishing like the good old days, go back to the safe and familiar, but they weren't doing God's purpose, and it doesn't work. You can't go back to your old town, your old job, your old friends. Certainly you can learn from the past. You can honor the past, but you can't fulfill your purpose there. You have to move forward. That's why the Apostle Paul said, forgetting the past and straining forward to what is ahead. He recognized and realized that God's purpose is always out in front of you. Today is the day the Lord has made. It's a new day, a new song, a new source, new possibilities, perhaps a new assignment in 2026 for you. I really think there's someone here that needs to hear this. You keep looking back, and the Lord wants to nudge you. No, I want you to look forward. Look ahead. Maybe you feel like you're in a rut today. Now, a rut can be a good thing, because it's easy to steer. You get in a rut and you're not going to go a lot of different directions. You're going to go straight ahead in that rut. And the problem is, though, you can be mindless in that rut and just kind of drift along. And this can happen to people. It can happen at any time of our lives. But I think especially men in their 50s or 60s, they get in a rut and they get bored and lazy, afraid to take a risk. And you know what happens? You don't catch any fish. But you can use that pain to motivate you to listen to Jesus. What's he saying to you? Here's what he's saying. Cast your net on the right side of the boat. All right, so we got Peter. Jumps in the water. He swims to Jesus. They hug. The boat draws near. Peter drags in the net, and it's full of fish. 153 fish. Now, what a strange detail for John to include that in the text. And when you read commentators, I mean, they're all over the map in this. They're just inventing things of what this 153 means. Here's what I think it means. A lot. It means that John was an eyewitness. It means that they counted those fish because they were going to sell them that morning. Now, I want you to see this. If you're a fisherman, you don't leave behind a big catch like that ever. I mean, have you ever caught 153 keepers? I haven't. So Peter left those fish behind to get to Jesus. That's a really good thing. Because Jesus is your purpose. Jesus is your focus. Jesus is your life. And I don't care what your vocation is. First of all, you're a child of God. Secondly, you're a servant of His. Your vocation isn't your life. And your kids aren't either. Jesus is. Peter the fisherman shows us that fishing and fish isn't really his life. Jesus is. Your purpose isn't the rut you find yourself in either. Jesus is. Now let's see four practical life lessons from that command. Letter A. Failure, disappointment, discouragement doesn't mean that you've lost your purpose forever. It just feels like it. It's tough when you've been fishing all night long and you've caught nothing. You're tired. You're working so hard and nothing. Maybe you feel like you've failed a lot in love and in relationships and on the job and in life in general. I just want to encourage you today to not lose heart. It doesn't mean that it's over. You might remember this Phil Keaggy song, Disappointment, His Appointment. Change one letter, then I see. God uses frustrations and failures in our life to complete his purpose. We see that in the life of Abraham and Moses and David. In fact, we see it all over the Bible, how God deals with his people. He wants to remind us that the Christian life is a marathon. It's not a sprint. There will be times when you have to run uphill. You're going to be very tired. Just don't quit. Keep running. Even if you've failed, your purpose isn't over yet. Letter B. It's not about just trying harder. They have been casting their nets all over the place all night long. And then Jesus says, cast it on the right side. Look, if you keep doing the same thing you've always done, how can you expect different results? Now, I'm not talking about a work ethic. I'm not talking about persevering. Those are good character traits. I'm talking about just trying harder at the wrong thing. Are you trying to climb the ladder to success? And when you get to the top, you realize, all along, my ladder's been propped up against the wrong wall. We've used all that effort at the wrong thing for what isn't God's purpose. I can tell you about my Uncle Dan. Now, I haven't had a lot of conversations with him, a few. But my dad told me some stories about my Uncle Dan. And he came from a very spiritually minded family. They were all saved and all very interested in the Bible, the Word of God. They would sit around and discuss it. But Uncle Dan was like light years ahead of them all spiritually. In fact, God gave him visions when he was a teenager, maybe even a young teenager. I remember my dad telling me a vision he had of a rocket ship, you know, that would go out into space. Those things weren't invented then. And Uncle Dan had not only keen insight into spiritual things from my dad, but had a call of God on his life. But according to Uncle Dan, as he told my dad, I ignored it my whole life. He became a barber like many of his other brothers and didn't fulfill his purpose. And my dad said he always felt incomplete, like he really hadn't done with his life what God wanted him to do. The disciples of Jesus weren't meant to become professional fishermen. They were supposed to be evangelists, fishers of men. So you can try harder and keep trying harder, or maybe you can give up and trust Jesus. Maybe today you're really trying hard. You're trying hard to get that job, to get that husband, to get your current one to change. And some of you have just given up. So I say to you, maybe just cast your net on the other side. Jesus already knows where the fish are. So stop trying harder and maybe trust Jesus harder. Letter C. The problem isn't where we are, it's who we're listening to. Now, whenever I'm fishing, I always tell myself, there's a perfect spot out there, I just haven't found it yet. When I'm on the shore, I say to myself, I need to get to the middle of the lake. And when I'm on one side of the lake, I think, I got to get to the other side of the lake. That's where all the fish are. That's where I'm going to catch them. Now, for the disciples, it wasn't, we need to go to the far end of the lake and then we're going to catch fish. The fish were right there beside them. We can think in our minds, yep, the grass is greener on the other side. Maybe if I just dump this job, dump this wife, then I'll be successful and happy. No, you won't. And you can't just cast your net anywhere to be successful. Listen to Jesus. Before you make that move or do that thing, how about pray? How about open God's word? What does God's word say? Are there any principles that he can speak to me from his word that show me what I should do in this situation? How about listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit within? Do you have a peace about that decision? You know, I've always thought, if God can lead a salmon to swim upstream 4,000 miles to come to the exact place that it was hatched, can't God lead you? Letter D, obey. Success follows obedience. Jesus gives the orders, you obey. Obey even when it seems ridiculous. Even when it's casting your net on the right side of the boat, when you realize we've cast our net on the left side, the right side, the back side, the front side. Timing is everything, especially God's timing. There's an interesting story in 2 Kings 5 about Naaman, who was a general in the Syrian army, and he had leprosy. And he was told that there was a prophet in Israel who could cure him. So he went to Israel and found this prophet who told him to wash in the Jordan River 7 times and he'd be cured. And he was incredulous. He thought, well, our rivers in Syria are better than these rivers. Let's pick up that story, 2 Kings 5. But Naaman was angry and went away saying, behold, I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call upon the name of the Lord, his God, and wave his hand over the place and cure the leper. Are not Abana and Parpar, Farfar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. But his servants came near and said to him, my father, it's a great word the prophet has spoken to you. Will you not do it? Has he actually said to you, wash and be clean? So he went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan according to the word of the man of God. And his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Then he returned to the man of God, he and all his company. And he came and stood before him and said, behold, I know there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. So accept now a present from your servant. But he said, this is Elisha, as the Lord lives before whom I stand, I will receive none. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. Then Naaman said, if not, please let there be given to your servant 2 mule loads of earth. For from now on, your servant will not offer burnt offerings or sacrifice to any god but the Lord. So he'll kneel down on that earth that he brought back from Israel and pray. In this matter, may the Lord pardon your servant. When my master goes into the house of Rimmon to worship there, leaning on my arm, and I bow myself in the house of Rimmon, when I bow myself in the house of Rimmon, the Lord pardon your servant in this matter. And he said to him, go in peace. Interesting story. Naaman obeyed. He obeyed that strange command to go wash himself in the Jordan River 7 times. So obey the Lord in the first thing that comes to your mind. Peter hauls in the fish. We see that Jesus has already made a fire of charcoal, which is a phrase that's only used 2 times in the New Testament. Once here, and the other time was when Peter was warming his hands by the fire when he denied the Lord. Do you think this fire was intentional, maybe? Peter looked into those flames with the fish cooking on him and he remembered his failure. Jesus is going to have some lessons for Peter coming up next week, we're going to see, and the disciples. So Jesus had some fish cooking and some bread. And this theme blows my mind. The resurrected Lord Jesus Christ is cooking them breakfast. Isn't that wild? You know, breakfast at Tiffany's, breakfast at Tiberius. And the resurrected Jesus is going to eat some of this breakfast. He's resurrected from the grave. He can pass through walls, and yet he can eat fresh fish and bread. That's really interesting, I think. Gives us a little maybe insight into our resurrected body. So I love this part here. But what Jesus is after here is relationship. Jesus wants a relationship with them, even though they had failed him, denied him, betrayed him, ran away, went fishing. He wanted to spend time with them, to relax with them and just hang out. That's real relationship that God wants also for you. When's the last time you just hung out with Jesus, enjoying his company? Maybe over good Christian music or a cup of coffee and an open Bible. Not doing anything for him, you know, just being with him. Does that sound good to you too? As a pastor, man, I'm always thinking about what's my performance? Am I reading enough? Am I praying enough? Am I studying enough? Am I fixing problems? Am I encouraging people? Am I getting more people to come? Am I not allowed to just hang out with the Lord? waste time with him. No, I got to get to work for the Lord. Can't I just allow him to fix me breakfast? I struggle with that. Do you need that too? Notice he invited them to dine. We give and receive invitations for people to come into our home or go into their home, and we could say yes, no, or maybe. Well, this was a yes invitation. When Jesus gives you an invitation, you say yes. He invites, we respond. Also, he involved them. Did you notice that in verse 10? Bring some of the fish you just caught. He created the fish. He led them to them. He made the fire. He's cooking the fish. But he asked us to participate with him in this experience by bringing some of the fish we've caught. Our gifts, our talents. It's all grace. It's all from him. And he says, come and bring what you have. Let's share it together. Now look at verse 13. What do you think this reminded them of? A couple things came to my mind. The feeding of the 5,000 prayer, when they remembered his power. And the Last Supper, when he took the bread and the wine, he broke it and he said, take and eat this. This is my body, where they remembered his love. Jesus wanted these guys to get back on purpose again because they were losing their way. They were going back to fishing, back to their careers, back to the old life. And he doesn't want that. He's got something different for them. He wants them to regain their purpose. What about you today? Have you kind of lost your way, your purpose, and you need to get it back? Well, we'll finish this story next week and see what else Jesus has for them. Thank you, Father, for this instructive story. This certainly isn't just for Peter and the other disciples. It's for us. We can relate. We can identify with this. We need this, Lord. Many of us just need you to fix us breakfast. And we just sit there with you and be with you and enjoy your company and let you minister to us. We're tired. We're wore out. We're burned out. We're working hard. And we're casting our net everywhere but where you're telling us to. So, Lord, I pray that you will bring back lessons from this story to our minds to help us, to guide us and lead us, that we are fully in the flow of your purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's stand.
Thank you for listening today. I hope this helped you experience Jesus more deeply.